The name of the Bethlehem baby is, you guessed it, Obed. O-B-E-D, Obed. Obed, he's the son of the woman named Ruth, who's the story's named after, and he is the final and ultimate blessing for a lady who seems to have lost everything. Yet, if it was not for her, we wouldn't be here today, sitting in this building on the other side of the world and thinking about Jesus and Christmas lunch. So let me reassure you, before the end of this brief message, we will meet the other Bethlehem baby, Jesus of Nazareth, whose name Jesus means God saves, and he is actually the high point of the book of Ruth, as we're going to find out. Now, the story of Ruth, it's found in the Old Testament, right after the book of Judges. Indeed, it is set in the time of the judges of Israel, when there was no king. This makes our story more than 3,000 years old, and the time of Judges, as some here will certainly know, is a bloody and brutal time. I say that because a number of us have been hacking our way through the book of Judges in small groups here at church, or individually. So we do all sorts of things. We've got our Sunday meetings, but we also have small groups, and we also have individual daily Bible reading notes that anyone can take up and follow. And we've been working our way through Judges, and quite honestly, there are some awful stories in there of human brutality and lives lived not in obedience to God. You read Judges with its story of killing and human sacrifice and warfare and personal tragedy, and you're tempted to ask, how can God possibly be in control? In fact, just as in the book of Judges, you can probably look around the world this Christmas and say exactly the same. How could God possibly be in control? Now, it clearly is God's world. The Bible says that God made the world and everything we see in it. It's made by God. It belongs to him in all its beauty and all its glory, in all its sunshine and majesty and beaches and Christmas and on. The ham at Christmas. God created the pig that made the ham. And the pig is ours for our use and enjoyment. Psalm 104 verse 15. He makes grass grow for the cattle. God makes plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. God made everything, and every good thing that God gives is for us. Yet, at the same time, we hear of schoolgirls kidnapped in Africa, Scandinavian tourists executed in Morocco, tsunamis in Indonesia, churches in China being shut down, property confiscated, people taken away, they're put in prison for doing exactly what we're doing today, which is meeting to praise God and to give him honour, and they're being arrested for it. All of which are symptoms of what the Bible calls sin, and that is the attitude of saying, I'm the boss, God's not, and as a result of that, we are in terrible trouble. The good world that God made is a mess. We need rescue. And one question then that we ask is God really in control? Now, one answer to that is the book of Ruth, set in wild and chaotic times when, according to the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's a repeated phrase in Judges. Happens all the time, and it tells us that the situation was close to anarchy. Except, despite the repeated and almost continuous disobedience of the people which deserved judgment, God was still God, and the people were still his people. So that's the time in which Ruth is set, and it's almost there as a counterbalance to the horror and bloodthirsty nature of the book of Judges. Let me give you the story of Ruth in four simple sections. We won't spend long on it, but at least it'll cover the basics of the story. Emptiness, return, redemption, and fullness. Emptiness, return, redemption, and fullness. So section one, emptiness. We meet a woman named Naomi and her family in a time of drought. They're all named, and it's there in the beginning of Ruth. It's very important that we understand from that and various other things that this is true history, even if it is ancient history. They're in a time of drought, so they move from Bethlehem in Israel, the same Bethlehem as in the Christmas cards and, of course, where Jesus was born, to neighbouring Moab in order to survive. That's a traditional enemy area. They're not worshippers of God. But her sons marry Moabite women. One of them is Ruth. Then we learn that Naomi's husband dies, leaving her a widow, and her two sons, they die as well, leaving Ruth and the other Moabite wife a widow. So the situation is desperate, and Naomi then comes back to Israel with nothing. Absolutely nothing. No husband, no sons. Actually one thing, and that is that Ruth refuses to leave her and go back to the Moabite people. And she says, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." So, apart from that sort of light of hope, section one of the story is absolutely clear, emptiness. If you feel empty today, even though it's Christmas, some people do feel empty because it's Christmas. It's a time of happiness for most, but not for all. I was thinking we're 100 years on from the end of World War I. Can you imagine the first Christmas at the end of World War I and the loss of life and the missing men, the missing boys? And so Christmas isn't always a happy time for people. And there's that sense that it can be a pretty awful time. Now, the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, is a story that not only for people who celebrate Christmas, but for people if you feel empty at Christmas time. It's a story about empty people being filled by the hand of God. Section one is emptiness. Section two, there is a return. A return that's filled with sadness. In fact, Naomi, the person who left Bethlehem in the first place, she is completely turned in on herself, and she says to her Bethlehem friends and her extended family, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitter. She is bitter at the hand that life has dealt her. Her husband has died. Her sons have died. She is perhaps so bitter that she hardly even notices that Ruth has loyally attached herself to Naomi instead of leaving. And she has trusted Israel's God. And she almost misses that there are seeds of hope. So they return at the time of the barley harvest. And as Ruth exercises the legal right of gleaning barley, gathering the leftovers to eat, she catches the eye of the landowner, Boaz, who, it so happens, treats her with great kindness and, it so happens, is a kinsman redeemer. Have you had a bitter 2018? Ruth is a book for you. It's about returning to the place of God's blessing and finding that there is indeed hope and the possibility of encouragement. Now, legally, Boaz, who is this mysterious figure in some ways, a figure of hope, a kinsman redeemer, it means there's an obligation on him. In those days when there's no government and no social welfare and the only king was God, the job of Boaz was to look after his family, to follow God's rules, his laws, and to make sure that his relative Naomi, who is now a widow, was cared for, and for her family line as well. So, section one, emptiness. Section two, return. Section three, redemption. Section 3 is about redemption. They now have a redeemer, a kinsman, a relative, Boaz, who is ready to act. Now, redemption, what is it? Redeeming. It's what you do when you buy something back. If I go to Cash Converters and offer them my laptop or my piano or my wedding ring or my microwave, I wouldn't do that. In return for cash, although I do have a friend who has bought three wedding rings, each for the same wedding, his wife, at Cash Converters, because he keeps losing them in the surf and so on. How did we get onto that? So, Israel had laws from God. You can buy them back. That's it. You sell your wedding ring or whatever. You can go to cash converters and you can say, I need it back. Hand over a chunk of cash and they give you back. That's redemption. You redeem. You see, you buy it back. So Israel had laws from God that put an obligation on relatives in the family to redeem, to buy back the land and even people who'd sold themselves into slavery, so that they wouldn't lose their name and their family line and the blessing that came with having property in Israel. Now, in the case of Naomi, she'd lost everything, land, children, husband, seemingly God's blessing. Boaz has the job of looking after that and looking after Naomi and by extension any other members of her family, which means Ruth. It's a section full of romance. It's a section full of suspense. As first Ruth makes it plain at the end of the harvest that she would like Boaz's attention. We had that story read. And Boaz, for his part, reciprocates. He shoulders the responsibility that he could have made excuses for. Said, no, it's too hard. Let someone else do it. Indeed, however, it is clear that he's interested in Ruth. And he's very thankful that she didn't choose a younger man than him for attention. And in section 4, we reach the happy ending, where the other man, who is also a possible kinsman redeemer, so there's that element of suspense, are they actually going to get together? Because there's someone who's younger, possibly better looking, and certainly closer in line, who could do the job. But section 4, there's a happy ending. Boaz marries Ruth. And in the final few sentences of the story, we have come full circle. We're back in Bethlehem. The needs of Ruth and Naomi are being looked after. The family is together. And best of all, there's a baby in Bethlehem by the name of Obed. How could you not be happy? There you go. What a great story. That's why I called the section 4 of this book Fullness. Begins in emptiness, far away from Israel, subject to famine, even death. Section 2, they return. Section 3, Boaz redeems the situation, redeems Ruth. And here, finally, to the end, we've moved to the fullness of God's blessing, poured out on his children. And the accompanying women around Naomi note that the boy has been born, and this is how they sum up the situation. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, Ruth, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. With the result that Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and the whole family live happily ever after. There you go. Isn't that a fantastic story? And there is so much more that could be said here, but we won't say it now. Christmas lunch awaits. However, come back in January when we will spend 4 Sundays on each of the 4 episodes in the story of Ruth. Come back. Bring friends. Our usual services are 8:30, 11 o'clock and 4:15. We would like to see you all here. That will be wonderful. However, just 3 quick observations to finish with. First observation, Ruth, it's a beautiful and lovely story. If you've kind of heard it for the first time or you've heard it a long time ago, you're not familiar with it, just go to your computer, type Ruth into the search engine. The book of Ruth is the first thing that comes up, and you can read it to your family aloud as a Christmas present, if you like, in less than half an hour. It is a beautiful story, a great Christmas present to yourself and whoever else reads it. And it's about God who is there and providing and loving over every single event. That's the first observation. There's 3. Second observation, you can trust the God that you read about in this story. He is a great God. There really is no guesswork about this in the story. The Old Testament God is a God of love, and he provides richly for those who trust him. He's the God of the harvest. He's the God who makes laws so that even widows and women who have no one fall under his protection. He is the God who provides barley harvests. He's the God who provides children. Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The God who gives food to birds and clothes the flowers better than he clothed Solomon, he will certainly give food and clothing to you. Jesus reveals the God of the book of Ruth. Trust him. Last of all, there is a baby at the end of this story, and not just any baby. It's in a particularly chaotic and nasty period of Israel's history. Ruth gives birth to Obed and lays him in Naomi's lap. Naomi is bitter no longer. She's just received blessing upon blessing. And Obed ends up being the grandfather of the great King David. And David turns out to be a king who will sit on the throne that God has promised forever and ever. Not occupied ultimately by David himself, but by a son of David, which means that he's born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. The same Bethlehem where the angel announced, "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." When you read or hear the story of Ruth, you are reading or hearing a story about a woman who has a baby, a son, who has a son, who has a son, who has a son, and so on. So after about 1,000 years, the son is born. If there's no story of Ruth, there's no story of David. If there's no story of David, there's no story of Jesus. The story of Ruth is part of the story of Jesus Christ. The story is in the Bible. There is hope. It says that really Christmas is no accident. It's no accident that we're meeting here. It's no accident that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. God planned it. In the middle of this dark and brutal world, which remains dark and brutal to this day, God is at work. He's establishing the throne of his King, Jesus. And look, it is just the most wonderful thing to have the blessing of God in Jesus Christ for us today. I don't know what sort of year you've had. It's quite possible it's been the worst year ever. Someone's got to have had a worst year somewhere. If it is, I'm sorry, and I hope and pray that 2019 is a lot better for you. Or it may be it's been a great year, and if so, happy Christmas, thanks to God. But what we learn from the book of Ruth is that God is a God who cares for us, whether our year has been awful or whether it's been good. That same God is a God who delights in rescuing and redeeming, just like he did through Boaz, just like he did in that story, only he sent a bigger, better, greater rescuer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Will you put your trust in him this Christmas, just as Ruth did so many thousands of years ago? He is the same God now as he was then, and if you trust him, he will save you through Jesus Christ. Have a lovely Christmas, and come back next year to find out more.